You're listening to the No BS Nutrition Podcast. I'm registered dietitian Hannah McGee.
And I'm neuroscience PhD student Tariq Youssef. And for the next hour, we're going to tackle popular nutrition topics from a scientific lens, promoting fact over fiction with no BS. Hello. That is a Catherine Cohen joke. Hello, Hannah.
Hi. Hi, Tariq. Hi. How are you?
Good. Last week we talked about eat like a bear, and I'm kind of still riding that high because I had a lot of fun talking about it.
That was a crazy diet.
It was a crazy diet. And I'm really looking forward to the reaction that people have to it.
Yeah,
and
I want
what kind of history they have with it.
I want to know what everyone thinks about it. So if you listen to that episode, send us a message. Tell us what you thought about Eat Like a Bear. And if you haven't listened, put that on your list to listen to after this episode.
Mm-hmm. I also, the world is so weird right now. Nova Scotia, and people who are listening from Nova Scotia will know, it feels almost like the pandemic's not happening because we have so few cases. And I know for you, that's not the case.
It's so weird that we're just a province apart, but we're in pretty different situations. I mean, we've talked about this before and we won't dwell on it, but obviously anywhere in the Maritimes has it pretty mm-hmm. good when it comes to the pandemic. But yeah, where you are, there's like 15 total cases in the entire province.
11 right 11 now. We have 11.
And I think here,
despite that, I feel like sometimes I feel like the odd one out because I'm still like threat level midnight. I'm like I'm not acting like anything's changed. I'm mm-hmm. not dining in. I'm not doing any of that stuff. I'm still, now that there's the COVID variants, and I remember at the very beginning of all this, there were rumors that there were mutations, and mm-hmm. some people were like, no, we'll be fine. I was mm-hmm. I think we're going to need booster shots. And now Moderna is making a booster shot. Anyway, it's all very, I'm not scared, but it's not great.
No.
I just want to be safe. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. It definitely, over the weekend, I mean, like, we, Pat and I have a lot of friends in Nova Scotia, obviously, that's where we're from, and we saw there were so many people back home, yeah, like, out at a bar or things like that, and
hanging
it looked,
out.
Like, with friends, and it looked very much like pre-COVID, and meanwhile, yeah. here in Moncton, New Brunswick, we're in, like, the red zone, so a lot of stuff is shut down, and you can't see anyone, which is what I would say most of the country is like,
mm-hmm. and the world.
Yeah. So
have you ever been in a shoe repair store? I've totally moved topics, but have you ever been in a shoe repair store?
I have, yes.
So okay, I do want to know what kind of repairs have you done?
I don't know. I honestly remember going to shoe repair stores as a kid.
Like, for
like
your
with my mom. I don't know why, if it was for like my dad's shoes or something like that, or for her shoes, but I have memories. That's weird. I have memories of being in a shoe repair store.
The only thing you can remember before you turned 13 years old is being in a shoe repair store.
Exactly. Okay. Why do you ask?
Okay. Because I recently went to a shoe repair store and I couldn't believe what a thriving business it was. They had, customers were coming in and out. They had a bunch of shoes ready to go. They were getting more shoes repaired. And I thought that was kind of like a thing of the past, but it's happening.
Also, you'd think like getting your shoes repaired might not be a priority in a global pandemic, but obviously I'm wrong.
People are getting their shoes fixed, Hannah.
So
people are resoling them, re-zippering them. They're redoing everything.
So why did you have to go? What did you need fixed?
Someone very kindly was taking me there. They purchased me a buffering brush for my shoes.
For your Doc Martens?
For my Doc Martens. Dr. Martin.
Love it.
Someone we'd love to interview on the pod.
That was such an horse laugh.
The problem is like what people don't know is I have to pay Hannah $6,000 every time she has to listen to me make terrible jokes every single time that we record this podcast. There's a government grant that pays Hannah mental health compensation for listening to me go on and on about everything that I say every week.
So, okay, enough bad jokes. We got to move on to the BS of the week, which I am assuming you have something for me this week.
No, actually, I don't.
So you didn't over-prepare.
Pause for anticipation. No, I definitely did. I've had this BS of the week for a few weeks now. Because as you know, I have them happening as they come along.
Yeah.
I see a BS, I go, let's get into this. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. My mind now is tuned to them. It's like I have a razor sharp eagle eye.
It's like a radar.
It's like a radar.
Yeah.
It's like a radar. My BS of the week this week is a neuroscience related one.
Nice.
Because there's been a lot of neuroscience related thingies, like diet culture things happening lately. And I think you'll find this very interesting.
Okay.
So, you know the movie / show / multiple movies, maybe Limitless?
That has Bradley Cooper in it, doesn't it?
Bradley Cooper takes a pill, maybe, and he becomes like the smartest person in the world.
Sure.
Gets rich.
Yeah.
Can see 500 million meters ahead of him.
Yep.
That's not possible. I don't know if anyone's out there, like if anyone needed to know that, you can't do that.
That's it. That's the BS of the week.
That is. Oh, sorry. That's not my BS of the week. Is the movie Limitless? It's the pill in the movie Limitless? No, that's not my BS of the week. But what I want to tell people is, even if you were to be able to somehow, quote, unlock the parts of your brain to be able to access that much of information, you would die. Like, you cannot process that much stuff. We don't have that much capacity. What we're doing now, this is all we can do. You can work hard, but you can't be limitless. So get that out of your head. There are lots of products that attempt to reach, not maybe they don't say limitless, but they try to say, let's get your brain functioning better. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Let's get it tip-top shape.
Yeah, and totally.
These things, there's a name for these products, these supplements. They're called nootropics, nootropics. Nootropics are products that act on your cognition or your brain function.
Okay.
So there's this kind of newfangled thing on the market. I think came out in 2019, kind of got big in 2020, and it's going now. It's called NeuroMints, NeuroGum. It's mints and gum.
No, stop.
So you put neuro in front of it, you're like, okay.
Yeah.
Brain power, presumably. Their website, so elegant. Easy, gorgeous graphics. It's very aesthetically pleasing, great colors. They hired someone for it, for sure. Not off Fiverr. And so they have two products that they're... Well, they have gum and mints. And the gum and the mints are basically the same thing. And both of them are available in two different kinds of products. They have energy and focus. Dab and cough. They have energy and they have energy and focus. And they also have calm and clarity.
Okay.
What more could you want, Hannah?
Seriously, nothing.
And they have this gorgeous idea where you get the ideal state. You can buy energy and focus and calm and clarity. And you just pop them as you please.
You can just buy
get
that
your
shit.
Your mind perfect. You can buy that shit. Okay. And for the energy and focus, they say two pieces of it, the mints or the gum, is about one coffee's worth. Okay, but there's extra little bits in there, and I'll get to that. They throw in some bonuses for you to get your mind sharp. Okay, So it's $20 for 72 pieces. According to them, you can take as many as you want. I don't think there's really a...
Interesting.
Just pop them. You can also subscribe for it, because you can subscribe for everything now. So they just can come in the mail every month as you please at whatever frequency you want. So it's, if you count it, it could be a little cheaper depending on how you subscribe for it. It's about 40 cents for a coffee, like, because two pieces are about one coffee of that energy and the focus at least. So it's actually not bad. Mm-hmm. I'd say like 40 cents for a coffee is pretty good. And 40 cents to get a calm mind. On the other hand, for calm and clarity, not bad. I don't know. You can't buy that anywhere else. So maybe this is a good deal. Okay. So their whole thing, what makes it special for the energy and the focus anyway, is that it's, you get the energy without the jitters. Okay. Mm. So you get the caffeine hit, but you don't get the anxious, jittery chills kind of thing. Right. With the coffee. Amazing. Wow, what is this? What are these magical ingredients that they're throwing in there that you can't get anywhere else? Who knows? We'll get to that. And their other whole thing is that because it's a mint or a gum and you're absorbing everything through your mouth, aka buccal absorption, just a fancy word for it, it's a more absorption and faster absorption than you would be getting through your digestive tract, which may be true. For something, sure. Interesting.
Interesting. Okay.
Interesting idea. The most interesting thing about this product, Hannah, the most interesting thing, zero citations to be found anywhere on the website.
Mm,
none.
Great.
Even Flat Tummy Tea had citations. They had a citation. Was a shit paper.
Yeah.
Not a real paper. Yeah. But it was a citation. Neuro people, no citation. They don't care. They are telling you. It. They have a page called The Science. That's all you need.
And what does that page say?
We'll get to that.
Okay, sorry, jumping the gun.
So let's talk about some of the ingredients in some of these products. From what I see, well, there's a few ingredients in each of them. There's not much.
Okay.
My opinion, and you can tell me, you can agree or disagree with me, my opinion is most of what's in there, you're either already getting or is very easily nutritionally available.
Okay.
And you're probably already getting enough of it. You're probably getting your daily requirement of it. So let's talk about the energy and focus for a bit. Energy and focus has caffeine. Okay. You can get that pretty cheaply in various forms.
Yep.
Right? I don't need to tell people that. You can get it, coffee, tea, et cetera, blah, 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 blah. I don't want to harp on that. Another thing they include, they say you get vitamin B6, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And vitamin B6, they make it sound like it's so special, like this is going to make you, you know, get energy in like a really special way, as if it's some sort of like thing that no one gets.
Yeah, something that people don't get, yeah.
Vitamin B6 is found pretty stably in a lot of plant sources.
Yep.
It's found in a bunch of animal sources, maybe a little bit less stably after processing, I found, as I was, you know, doing my little internet searches. It's found in pork, poultry, fish, peanuts, soy, oats, bananas, milk, fortified cereal. I could go on. They also say that it contains vitamin B12, which apparently for them is some special thing, but you can get vitamin B12 in meat, fish, milk, cheese, eggs, again, fortified foods. So again, nothing really special here. Not sure why I'm paying extra for a supplement. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's basically a supplement. And then the other thing that they have in the energy and focus mint / gum is L-theanine. So they make this sound like the most amazing thing. L-theanine, amazing amino acid. It's going to fix everything. This is the thing that's going to give you the focus part of the energy. So this is the thing apparently that's going to take away the jitters.
Okay.
L-theanine is an amino acid that's found in green tea.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they're saying to me, it's like, okay, then have green tea. You're going to get your caffeine and your L-theanine. If you're so like up in arms about getting L-theanine, why are we buying this gum? Green tea would be way cheaper than 40 cents per amount of caffeine that you're getting out of the gum. Anyway, so I was like, okay, whatever. You know, we're swallowing the tea. You know, that's going through the digestive tract. Maybe their whole thing about it being buccal absorption in the mouth is going to be a huge deal. And the L-theanine digestion through the mouth, or absorption through the mouth, it is going to be so much better. Maybe right. I'm wrong. I thought, okay, like, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Let's go to the science. And when I say the science, I mean the actual science, not,
not the science
page
on their
called
website.
The Science. Yeah, exactly. Right. So here's a paper. It's a systematic review, and people will know from previous episodes, we've both talked about how systematic reviews, basically, they're at kind of at the top of the pyramid of evidence, where they're assessing and analyzing most, if not all, of the literature that's already out there on a certain topic, and then coming to a conclusion based on that. So, I found this paper called "The Effects of Green Tea Amino Acid L-Theanine Consumption on the Ability to Manage Stress and Anxiety Levels," and they very specifically were looking at, you know, a bunch of things. Amongst those things, buccal absorption, and about 200 to 400 milligrams a day, which would require a couple of mints. Okay. I think maybe six of the mints, okay, the neuro mints. So what are we at now? $2.40. They said it may help reduce stress and anxiety only in the acute setting. And I was looking at some other papers, basically only within the hour. And for that to be even significant statistically, which doesn't always mean it's significant in a clinical setting or in a like a natural setting, it was only really significant for people who were had a propensity to be stressed. So people right. with active anxiety and in a stressful condition. So not a day-to-day sort of energy. So it kind of goes against this whole argument that this energy and focus gum or mint is going to be an effective supplement in the very cool way that they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I'm sure the caffeine hit's going to get you. Sure, it has caffeine in it. I kind of don't doubt that it's going to give you energy.
Right.
Is it going to give you energy in this magical, focused way that you're getting from these added vitamins and this amino acid? I don't think so.
Probably not.
They also say, there's also, like, they looked at it in a bunch of ways. They even looked at it in terms of brain activity, and there really was no difference. I'm not surprised by any of this. I don't think anyone else should be. Seeing the gum even like having the word neuro in front of it, automatically I was like, this is a red flag. You know what I mean? It's one of those diet or not diet wellness culture red mm-hmm, flags. You know mm-hmm, what I mean? Using mm-hmm. a buzzword.
Totally.
So we've talked about the energy and focus gum and mint a bit. So let's talk about the calm and clarity now.
Okay, sure.
Calm and clarity. They have gorgeous supplements in there, you know, amazing stuff. They love saying naturally sourced. They use cold compression in order to keep the ingredients at their maximum availability, bioavailability.
Right,
they're so
right.
obsessed with that. Anyway, one of the things that they include in the calm and clarity is GABA. GABA is a neuromodulator, a neurotransmitter. It is indeed stress reducing. It does help promote, you know, calmness, promote sleep in a very complex way in the brain. So I was like, okay, sure, there's GABA in it. And they're harping on this whole buccal absorption, oral
right.
absorption.
Right.
This is going to change your life. So I found this paper. This is from 2020, another systematic review, effects of oral GABA administration on stress and sleep in humans. So pretty pertinent to look at this. And what they found was that there actually have been several human clinical trials conducted using oral GABA to see if whether or not it could help with stress. What they end up saying is that the results are pretty mixed. Everyone's like rolling their eyes listening to me, but it's no surprise. The results are mixed, and they say we need more studies because there is very limited evidence right now that it's going to help with stress. Or sleep at all, or calmness, or whatever,
right.
taking GABA orally. So this gum is really, to me, pointless. If you feel very strongly about the energy and focus, maybe just have a cup of green tea. If you feel very strongly about the calm and clarity, maybe, And you're somebody who is anxious, I would say turn to a professional before you turn to gum. The gum's not going to be covered by your health insurance, for sure. And it's definitely not going to help you. I'm sorry. What might help, and what's been seen in the literature before, and we've talked about before, is a placebo effect. There definitely might be a placebo effect that you might benefit from. And if you feel like using those mints to get that, power to you. The other, so there's the science. They don't do the things that they tell you it does. The energy and focus one might make you more energetic because it has caffeine. That's no surprise. But I don't think it's going to make you more energetic in a focused way. The other thing that I loved was, okay, you know, it's a mint. Like, does it even work as a mint or as gum? I looked at some of the reviews. Here's one. It's titled, "These are not breath mints." And this person says, "I repeat, these are not breath mints. After a bad case of halitosis, I took one of these thinking it would help. Didn't help, so I took another one, then another. Long story short, I emptied 3 tin cans in an hour. It's been a week. Now I cannot shut up. I'm constantly shaking. My wife has left me and took the kids with her because I became too much for her to handle. I've lost my job because I'm singing out loud Thunderstruck. When my boss asked me to stop, I yelled at him, 'YOLO!' Now I'm home alone, and guess what? I don't care. Am I dead? Because I can't feel anything. I can't taste anything, and I can't feel my pulse. Maybe it is that my heart is beating so fast that I can't feel it. Anyways, I've lost my sense of smell. The mailman is coming, and I can smell his brain from here. I think I'm going to go eat now." So, very humorous, but like, and a lot of the other reviews actually... Exactly. He is limitless. And a lot of the reviews say this, is that it's actually not even a good mint or gum. Like, aside from all these effects, like, it doesn't do what mints or gum should do. So... to the people who made Neuro Mints or gum, again, I'm fully protected by my right to critique you and review you. And I don't think this works. That's my opinion. And it's in a podcast. And my podcast is listened to by hundreds of people.
Hundreds of people.
And we're influencers. And now my listeners have gotten our side of the story.
Yeah,
and what I would suggest is throw a citation in. Throw a citation.
Yeah, give us something.
Because I mean, maybe the reason why they don't have anything is because there's no good. Maybe there's no good evidence to support what they're saying. Maybe that's why there's no citation. So that's my BS of the week. I hate anything with the word neuro in front of it. You can get caffeine much cheaply. And you can do some mindfulness meditation. And that's probably going to help you, maybe, I would say more, help you more than the common clarity mints.
Yeah.
And I rest my case.
I agree with you. That was actually very interesting. I love when you bring, like, when we can find something that's got the neuroscience aspect and the nutrition together. Like, I love that, because it's really, like, meshing our passions are specialties.
We're like Captain Planet. We bring our like rings together. The funny thing is like, things in the brain obviously like work in a very specific way. It's not like it's totally random, but at the same time, nothing in the brain is clean, quote clean. Like, you can't take a supplement that we know does a specific thing, and you can't expect it to do just that thing at the level that you want it to.
Yeah.
There are going to be off-target effects.
Yeah.
And there are going to be day-to-day, minute-to-minute, hour-to-hour fluctuations in how effective that thing's going to be.
Interesting.
So, like, L-theanine, for example, like, theoretically, it can... reduce the ability of glutamine to bind to certain receptors on neurons that can take up glutamine in order to make glutamate, and then that glutamate can be released onto other neurons in order to promote like brain activity. So I guess this was their whole argument for including L-theanine, is like, quote, reduce brain activity to get rid of the jitters.
Okay,
like,
sure.
That's not, like, okay, maybe, but, like, that amino acid's going like everywhere, and that the availability that you think it's going to produce is like, the science says like maybe it's going to be effective acutely if you're somebody who's anxious in an anxious situation.
Right,
but,
right.
Like you, there's nothing to support what they're saying. Like mm-hmm. for daily use as a supplement, like
yeah, no. to like is keep it, anxiety at bay or whatever. It's yeah, not a thing. No. Yeah, yeah.
And they're almost, to me, it's almost being advertised as like, I don't really know much about these drugs, but like as a, I think it's like Ritalin people use to okay. get focus.
Sure,
right?
Sure.
Like it's almost being advertised that way, but drugs like, psychoactive drugs are very closely controlled. They have to be prescribed, right? So like this is something off the shelf, and we've talked about this before, especially like when thinking back to talking about supplements for your skin, stuff that's actually gonna literally change your skin has to be prescribed to you, because what's on the shelf is not like nowhere near strong enough to actually do anything about the amount of hormones that are being produced that affect like your pores, like right. the oil that's being produced, it's things like that.
Yeah.
So this thing that you can buy online, like, yeah. is not going to do anything clinically significant.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I have a couple comments. So mm-hmm. the first one is, yeah, this reminds me, and like what you're saying about like the L-theanine and its potential to actually make a difference, it reminds me almost of our collagen discussion. And it's like taking yeah, collagen totally. Doesn't guarantee, like, taking collagen peptides doesn't guarantee that it's going to, that those amino acids are going to like reconnect as collagen in your body and then be distributed to your wrinkles or to your skin or to, you know, yeah. to wherever right. your hair, your nails, whatever people are claiming. And it's kind of the same thing, like you're saying, like it's not necessary, it's going to be used, you know, widely yeah, yeah. in different areas where it's needed. And so that's not a guarantee. And then it also reminds me just of our general kind of ongoing supplement discussion around how the taking, you know, supplements
yeah, I know what you're
for
gonna
like
say.
For
yeah,
everyday yeah. use and right, you right. know, to when you're already, you already have, you know, normal levels of these things, or, you know, unless you have a deficiency, there's really, you're not going to see a difference. And that's what this kind of reminds me of as well, right. With things yeah, like yeah. B12. Like if you have a B12 deficiency, I'm sure you'll probably notice you do feel more tired and find, you know, it harder to focus or things like that, because you're, you know, that's a symptom and you feel exhausted, you feel tired with B12 deficiency. So if you were to correct that with a B12 supplement, then I'm sure you would see more energy. But if you already have normal B12 levels, you're not going to see like a big like jolt in energy, like right. a, you know, a spike in your energy from taking this every day. And I'll say, like, if you do have a B12 deficiency, you should be talking to your doctor or a dietitian about correcting that, not taking
and not some getting it from gum. Like a gum.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It also is like another example of like these are nice ideas, like, oh, buccal absorption might be faster and more efficient than digestion. Okay. And L-theanine is something that works as a neuromodulator in the brain. Okay.
Yeah.
And like all of these things, like in a way, yes, they are true and there is theory behind them.
Yeah.
But in practice, clinically, like in everyday life, in a natural setting, that's not how they work.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Wow, that was amazing. That was so informative, so interesting to learn about, and really entertaining at the same time. So beautiful job. Great BS of the week. Thank you.
Thank you, my queen.
All right. Well, why are you laughing?
Because you were laughing.
Oh, I was trying to transition there. This is okay. One thing that I feel like I need to work on in our podcast is our transition, because I feel like I'm just like,
I love our transition.
And the next thing I'm just like, okay, moving
maybe
on.
Maybe we should do, you know, what's that Lady Gaga song where she goes, here we go.
I don't know that song.
Should we do that before every segment? Here we go.
Okay. I'm down for that. It is good that we added those. Let us know what you guys think. But we added the little, like, the music in between our segments to kind of split them up. And that kind of gives us a good transition. But
our music is iconic.
I love. What's it called again?
Upbeat Modern Summer Dance Pop.
Upbeat Modern Summer Dance Pop. That's the name of our podcast theme song.
Check it out online.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't even know who the artist is.
We paid for the licensing.
We did. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So I actually, this is kind of interesting. So we had a very, neuroscience, nutrition, kind of science-based BS of the week. And now we're moving into a little... We're going to be a little less scientific this week. We want to talk about food and eating and do a little meal planning and meal prepping episode to give you guys some tips. I feel like this is something that you and I both, Tarek, do often and have gotten pretty good at.
I want to say also, Hannah, this was a genius idea from you. And I think, I mean, we're near... So. Now, end of January, I don't know if you've seen this, but I've been keeping a close eye on this. Online marketplaces, there's a lot of treadmills for sale. There's a lot of kettlebells for sale. A lot of people have bought themselves things or gotten things for the holidays as gifts for, I guess, what they would be calling their fitness journeys, their health journeys. And now these things are being sold. I think because people are like, okay, this is not working for me. Like, the thing that I've jumped into, I've thrown myself into the deep end, is not working for me. I think people who are looking to make some changes in with respect to their eating, their health, are probably looking for maybe actual tips like that they can actually use.
Yeah.
And I think some people will be looking to learn some of the things that we'll be talking about.
Oh, I'm so glad. Yeah, I agree. These are some things we want to share that are, it's not really around what you should and shouldn't be eating at all. It's more about building some habits that you can put into place to help you, you know, cook more at home or eat at home and, you know, save money.
Forward this on to a friend who might be interested in.
Yeah, totally. Okay, so yeah, what we're going to do, I have come up with a few meal planning tips. So tips for kind of organizing and figuring out what you're going to eat for the week. And then Tarek is going to share some meal prep tips. So some tips for actually, you know, preparing those meals or maybe even doing so ahead of time to make your life easier when it comes, you know, to the weeknight, evening, and it's time for dinner. So I'm going to jump in with my meal planning tips. We're going to share them with each other. We're going to share them with you. And yeah, I'm excited. I love talking about this stuff. So my first meal planning tip, I love this one. And if you follow me on Instagram, you may have heard me talk about this before. But tip number one...
If you don't follow Hannah on Instagram, what are you doing?
If you don't follow Tarek on Instagram, what are you doing?
Oh, okay. You're probably fine.
I'm trying to like give you a little...
Oh, yeah. No, no, please. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Tip number one is to shop your pantry or your fridge. So when you are... sitting down to plan out meals for the week or think about what you want to eat for the week, what sounds good this week, maybe before you're going grocery shopping, shop your pantry and your fridge. So I love this one because it can help you, you know, save money each week on groceries and I keep having to clear my throat, and reduce food waste. So what do I mean by shopping your pantry or your fridge? So I want you to take a little inventory almost of what you have in your fridge or in your pantry. So open up the fridge, open up the pantry, and just take note of ingredients that you might have that either would go well together or foods that you need to use up so that you can make sure that you use them in your meals for the week. So you could even, if you have like certain ingredients, so say you have like, I don't know, something random. Say you have like black beans and you also have penne pasta. You could like Google, you know, what to cook with black beans and penne pasta or like, you know, dishes with black beans and penne pasta and maybe some sort of like, I don't know, Mexican inspired pasta dish would come up or something like that.
That's a perfect idea. There's websites literally dedicated to, it's like a reverse recipe search. You put in what ingredients you have and it spits out a recipe.
Yes. You can also do that with cocktails. There's websites to do cocktails like that too.
Okay.
Obsessed. Okay. So yeah. So then once you have an idea of what you can make with those things, then you can figure out, you know, what else you'll need to pick up or get at the grocery store to complete those meals. So I'm not necessarily saying that every meal... Oh, there's my spaghetti squash. Beep, beep, beep. Oh. Okay, just, I'll finish this and then I'll go get them. But yeah, so like I was saying, it's not that you have to, you know, make all of your meals based on what you have in the pantry. I know that I've seen people on social media do that. They're like, this week I'm not getting groceries. I'm just going to go with what I have in the fridge
like
or the
challenge
pantry.
Or
yeah. I'm not saying that. I mean, you can do that if you want. But it is just helpful, like I said, to maybe save a little bit of money and not end up with, you know, with doubles of things in your pantry or in your fridge that you don't know what to do with. So that is my first tip, to shop your pantry and your fridge. And now I'm going to go grab my spaghetti squash. Got my spaghetti squash out. Okay, here we go. So my meal planning tip number two is to search for or look for inspiration. So what I mean by that is like refer back to cookbooks that you like or ones that you've been meaning to look at or Pinterest or food blogs, whatever. And you know what? Whenever I do this, I feel so much more inspired to cook during the week.
Oh yeah.
And I feel so much more excited about my meals when I eat them. Like
also I feel like most people have that guilt at the back of their mind of like, oh, I have those cookbooks up there. But
right.
I love just sitting, I like literally grab my like 15 cookbooks, sit down on them and just flip through.
Yeah.
Well, like one day, every other week or something, I'll sit down and be like, oh, what's going on?
Yeah. I like to do that too. And I like make a little bit, I talk to clients about this sometimes, like make it a little like activity, I don't know, on Sunday afternoon or on Saturday, whenever you're planning your meals for the week, I literally like make a cup of tea and I sit down and I flip through some cookbooks or look on Pinterest and, you know, jot down a couple meals that I want to try from my cookbook that I haven't used yet or whatever. And I know that, you know, a lot of us tend to have like old favorite recipes that we make all the time. I definitely do. And that's great and super convenient and easy. But it's also fun sometimes to just try something new and then maybe you
can also spice up those old favorites with some tips.
Totally.
You see
yeah.
In cookbooks.
That's a good idea. Yeah. And then sometimes even those new recipes end up being like more regular meals because you love them so much. So
that's like Taco Bell. This is like the famous joke is Taco Bell has 4 ingredients and makes 72 different menu items.
That's
like,
so true.
You can, there's so many ways to learn how to use the same things in different ways.
Yeah. Yeah. That, and yeah, looking for inspiration online can really help with that. So yeah, that's my second tip. And usually what I'll do, like I said, I'll flip through cookbooks, Pinterest, food blogs, whatever. And then I usually choose like one or two recipes for the week that either I already have ingredients for, you know, I'll say, oh, this like carrot soup, I already have a whole bag of carrots, so I'm going to make that. Or I also try to choose recipes that fit well with my schedule for the week. Because, you know, if it's going to be 3 hours to prep this recipe on... well, I mean, any night of the week, I wouldn't want to do that. But, you know, say we're like recording a podcast like we do in the evenings one night, I might want to plan that night to have like a recipe that only takes half an hour to make. So it's easier with quick cleanup or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that is my tip number two. And then my third tip is to plan everything out. So when I say plan it out, I mean like write it down or jot it down on your phone, something like that. That really helps me. Anyways, I keep a note on my phone with a list of like each day and the meals that I want to have. And then I also write it in my planner, like my dinners each week, because I'm a bit obsessive about planning. But
well,
anyways,
it is like that's your job. Like
right.
Part of it is like,
yeah, yeah.
You're good at it. So
thank you. Yeah, so like I was, it kind of relates to what I was saying in my second tip, but I usually like to kind of think about my upcoming week and assign, you know, the meals that I think I want to have to the days of the week according to what I've got going on or what my schedule looks like. So I already said the thing about the podcast, you know, if I, or maybe, you know, I have a full day of recipe testing and recipe shooting. So for dinner, I'm probably not going to want to make something else, you know, or go through mm-hmm. this whole ordeal to make a brand new meal. So I'll probably plan to have something with minimal effort or even eat one of those recipes yeah. that I've tested. So that's kind of how I plan.
I love that. It's kind of like thinking about how much time you actually mm-hmm. want to invest is mm-hmm. a huge part of meal planning, meal prep.
Yeah, like, it is really.
That's a question you should ask yourself rather than just like, again, diving into the deep end, not really.
Yeah, because sure. it's one thing to like just pick all these recipes and say, okay, I'm going to make this recipe this night, this recipe this night. But then mm-hmm. what if like you have a really busy day and you yeah. get home and you don't want to spend all those hours prepping a dinner right. that night. So if you can look at your schedule and then look at the meals that you think you're going to be in the mood for, and then you can kind of pick and choose like easier meals for busy days and things like that. And you know, I usually like plan, you know, a more fun, like comfort food kind of meal or something like that for like Friday night. Cause I'm usually craving mm-hmm. something, I don't know, a little more fun, a little more comfort, like maybe a little more rich, you know what I'm saying, on Fridays, because yeah. it's been a long week and I just want to like kick back with my mac and cheese or something like that.
Totally.
So yeah, that's really what I do. I also, if you want to go a step further, like beyond just dinners, I like to plan out what I'm feeling like, or what I think I'll be in the mood for like breakfast and snacks that week as well. I usually just like, this might be helpful for some people. I usually pick just like a couple, maybe two breakfasts or two snacks that I intend to have that week. And then just make sure I have the ingredients for them when I go to get my groceries.
Right.
And then the last thing I want to say about that is that I feel like I get this question a lot. People wonder, you know, can you still listen to your body or like eat intuitively and plan your meals or plan what breakfast you're going to have? And I will say, yes, I think you can. Personally, like when I'm doing this, it's not something that's rigid at all. You know, if something comes up and I don't feel like cooking what I planned for on Wednesday night or whatever, I don't cook it. Like I'll have something else. I'll make something else. If I planned to have oatmeal for breakfast and I wake up like really wanting a bagel, like I'll have a bagel. It's not like I have to stick yeah. to what I plan to have. It's just when you do have a little bit of structure and something planned, sometimes it just helps take like the guesswork out of yeah, when yeah. it is mealtime or when it is snack time and you're standing in the kitchen like, what am I going to make?
Reduces some anxiety. If you're the kind of person who, when someone asks you, oh, like, where should we go for dinner tonight or where should we get right. food? And you go, I don't know. Like, if you already have that decision made ahead of time, it'll help with that
it's
problem.
It's so much easier. Exactly. Yeah. So I think you can still be, you know, like intuitive or, you know, not have rules around food and still have structure. It's just really all about the intention. Like, if your intention is about making nourishment more convenient or more simple or more satisfying rather than like cutting calories or sticking to a plan, I think that you can do that just fine.
Totally.
Yeah.
I love those.
So those
Thank
are my
you
tips.
So much. I learned a lot. That was great.
Oh, I'm
Thank
so glad.
So yeah.
All right.
Okay. So yeah. So I was going to talk a little bit about meal prep.
Love it.
And hopefully these things complement Hannah's tips very nicely. I am... Okay. So all of my things are coming from a very specific place. Like, they're for the person who is on the go or the lazy person. And I'm both. I'm on the go and lazy. So these things, shout out to all those people who are on the go and lazy. This one's for you. So part of it is also me answering that question of how much time do I want to invest. Mm-hmm. Currently, I love cooking. I love eating. Currently, I don't want to invest any time right mm-hmm. now because it's just like one of those things that I really don't want to add to my day. Like I need as much downtime as I can possibly get.
Mm-hmm.
And so I try to eliminate as much prep as possible. Part of that is doing all the things that Hannah was telling us about planning. So, and part of that also is a well-stocked kitchen is a happy kitchen, and it's a kitchen that helps promote good meal prep.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've decided how much time you want to invest, you can kind of go from there and stock your kitchen in a way that complements that. And I like to be ready with as little prep as possible. So I like to choose ingredients that reduce or eliminate prep. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't have to be expensive. It can be. Mm-hmm. You can be the person who buys like the pre-chopped onions, the pre-chopped vegetables. That can get pretty pricey. Or you can be the person who buys frozen foods, canned foods, which we've talked about have great nutritional value. Basically, no better, no worse than what's available fresh. You can be that person. So I make sure that I have stuff in my kitchen that's basically zero prep, stuff that I always have in the pantry, stuff that I always have in the fridge like every week. So kind of planning, like alongside with planning the meals, I plan my prep stuff that like, I'm always going to have, stuff that's kind of like my staples. So you can pick those things that are going to be like, you know, that are going to be proteins, carbs, grains that I also. So I always make sure I have what's like really quick prep, like sandwiches, for example. So I always make sure I have bread, like a good grain, whole wheat bread. I always make sure I have whatever protein, whether it's tofu or eggs or beans or whatever.
Tempeh.
Always in the fridge. okay, I'm leaving the episode. I never have tempeh. whatever carbs, like whether they're fruits or vegetables, etc. So what are some other things, like aside from sandwiches or wraps or whatever that are, I keep talking about wraps. That are so
you love wraps.
Easy to prep. I do. With all those ingredients. So you've bought all this frozen food. You've bought all these vegetables that are like really easy to prep, like cucumbers or whatever, tomatoes. Mm-hmm. You bought all this fruit. And you have whatever, all this protein that you're going to use. What's a really quick way to have really easy prep, like that doesn't even involve cooking? Turn every meal into a charcuterie board. Like if you just like don't want to cook that day, just make it a charcuterie board. Like you could turn anything into a charcuterie board. Just cut up veg, don't have to cook it. Cut up fruit, don't have to cook it. Cut up whatever dairy you have, like cheese, or you can't cut every dairy.
Yogurt.
You can cut up cheese. But you can turn that yogurt, turn everything into a dip.
Yep.
Turn yogurt into a dip. You can turn refried beans in a can into a dip. You can turn peanut butter into a dip. Honey, tahini into a dip. Put nuts in a bowl. That
meal prep. Put that nuts in a bowl.
No, and
no,
that's
I know.
Your meal.
Yeah, yeah. I love it.
I will turn anything into a charcuterie board.
Yeah.
And that is a way that really reduces so much anxiety for me. And I feel like I am getting all of the nutrition that I would be getting otherwise. Like if I was like, whatever, making this like really elaborate meal. Yeah. But I'm getting it in a way that's so easy.
Yeah, I love that. When I was in university, I used to call them, and I still do really, but I used to call them like snack plates. But it's basically the same thing. Like I would just cut up fruits and vegetables. I'd have cheese. I'd have some crackers or like bread or something like that. And then, or pita. Yeah. And then I'd have a dip like hummus or some Greek yogurt dip or something like that. And then nuts. I would always have almonds. And like, it was literally, you had everything that makes up like a balanced meal and you didn't have to do any cooking or anything like that. It's actually, oh my gosh, I recommend that all the time when people don't know what to make.
You can get creative. Yeah, totally. You can get creative. Like you can make toast points, like throw that bread in the toaster, then chop it up.
Yeah.
Like, that's the quickest prep ever. Like then you have toast points. Or maybe if you do have a chicken breast or something, like, okay, like throw it in the oven, bake it rather than saute it or whatever.
Yeah.
You don't have to chop it up and then saute it. Just throw it in the oven, bake it. It's a really, no prep there. And then you pull it out, chop it up, add it to the charcuterie board.
Yeah, like, so easy.
So easy. You can incorporate anything, like you said, crackers, whatever, trail mix.
Mm-hmm.
Very easy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the tip there.
I love that.
If there's an ingredient that we didn't mention that you don't think can be turned into a charcuterie board, you can. Just, I'm telling you, you can. And DM us and we'll help you turn it into a charcuterie board.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
The one thing that maybe I'm having trouble thinking of is pasta.
Oh my God, that was literally, as soon as you said the
one
thing I'm having trouble with, like spaghetti popped into my mind.
Because I feel like most grains, you can even like throw them in with the dip. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if you want to like throw them in with the yogurt and then like dip your whatever in there, like barley or couscous or even rice, whatever. Anyway, so that's one thing.
I love it.
You know, having a well-stocked kitchen. And then you can make foods that are minimal to zero prep.
Yeah, like you don't, no cook meals are still meals. Like I think a lot of times when we think like weeknight meals, we think cooking in front of the stove or baking something in the oven or whatever. But really, you can still, a snack plate or a wrap or sandwiches, like things like that are still satisfying like meals that you can enjoy in the evening too if you want to.
And week to week, you can purchase your groceries with that in mind, but also knowing that if you do want to make something more elaborate, those are the same ingredients that you would use to make a more elaborate meal.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? And you don't, and that way, maybe it's not something like it is really good to plan, but if you're in a time where maybe you're not planning, then it's easy to like take those ingredients together and like make something more elaborate.
Yeah, totally.
Okay. So another tip I have is to stop being snobby. So maybe it's just me, but I've really had to stop being snobby in order to reduce prep time and make prep easier. So that includes purchasing spice mixes rather than having individual spices that I then like put together. So before I was like, hoity-toity, I make my own curry blend. No, not anymore. I just buy curry blend. I just buy all these things. You can go, something I like to do for me, and this is not a nutritional thing, but I go no sodium so I can add my own salt because I find things for my palate are too salty. So you can buy all these things. You can buy powdered anything. You can buy powdered vegetable or stock, meat stock. You can buy powdered coconut milk is really easy. You can use it in baking as well. And you can use it in, you know, cooking, you know, add water, whatever. You get coconut milk. You can add less water and a bit of fat, whether it's coconut oil or whatever, and you can make coconut cream out of that. Powdered things are really versatile. And I think that they're really helpful. It's like, it's a snobby thing to not use powdered, right? Like,
sure.
But it's looked down upon, but it's convenient and it's whatever. It's great. Like, get over it.
Yeah.
I've had to get over it. You can buy pre-made, like, sometimes it can be expensive. It depends. Sometimes it doesn't have to be. You can buy pre-made pizza dough, etc. All those, like pre-made fresh pasta, if you really want to have fresh pasta. You can buy all that pre-made, sometimes at a reasonable cost. And you can do those things homemade on a special night. Like, don't get so... You can buy, like, pre-made... Like, we were talking about last week, pre-made, like, pie crust shells for quiche and stuff like that. Don't feel like you have to do those things fresh all the time. Sure, it's nice, like you enjoy doing it, but you don't have to do it all the time.
Yeah, I like that. That's, I think that's really important. Yeah, when you want to make things a little more convenient or a little more easy for yourself, you do kind of have to like leave your ego at the door and you know,
totally
stop being so snobby about some things. And one thing that that I can relate to that is like cooking things in the microwave. Like, like, for, you know, I don't anymore, but at one point in my life, like, I was really snobby and, like, I'm not going to cook this potato in the microwave or I'm not going to, you know, whatever, steam my broccoli in the microwave. But, like, it's so easy. Like, why wouldn't you do it?
And it's fine.
It's like, safe. It's not going to kill you.
You're not losing anything out of doing that. It's like the food is just as good for you. Yeah. And it's a faster, easier way to do it.
I get messages all the time when I, like, am showing something on Instagram that I'm, like, melting butter in the microwave or something. And people are like, are microwaves really safe? Yeah. Like, are you sure I'm not going to get cancer from using the microwave? And I'm like, oh, my God.
That's really interesting. So microwaves, for people who don't know, like, they are made to probably preferentially... add or excite water molecules in food. Like, that's the kind of like wavelength of the microwave that's being emitted, so that it like kind of like heats up the water that's in whatever, like the water that's inherently in vegetables, the water that's inherently in whatever. So there's nothing like magical happening in there. It's just like literally making it warm with energy. Like, that's literally it.
Yeah,
so it's very safe, etc.
Yeah,
there's nothing magical about it.
I'm glad we cleared that up.
Okay, and my last tip is to prep with joy. So this can kind of be a little bit, it can be a little bit financially related, but it doesn't always have to be. Like, having a good knife is something that makes prep so much easier. You know, and it doesn't mean it has to be expensive. you maybe have to do a little bit of shopping around, a little bit of asking around, a little bit of research online, but having something like a good knife or good tools, like a good peeler, it's like when you're doing things like mashed potatoes, you're peeling apples for an apple pie, that is prep. And to make it easier, have a good tool to do it with, because it's going to reduce the time that it takes, and it's also going to reduce your stress.
Yeah.
There's things you can do, like have more than one cutting board. Oftentimes that's going to reduce the amount of time that you have to wash the same cutting board to like do something at the same time. If you're making something elaborate, having more than one cutting board is going to make your life a lot easier. Do things that you've been putting off, like organize your storage container, cupboard or drawer, like all your Tupperwares that are all over the place. If they're organized, like your meal prep is going to be so much easier and so much more enjoyable. And it's literally just habit building. Eventually it will just constantly be organized, and you won't have to go fixing it all the time. You just have to make dedicated space for those things. And I know that can be tough, especially in small spaces, but maybe that's something that you can prioritize and you say, like, this is worth it. I am going to dedicate space specifically for this.
Yeah.
Something else that can give you joy is, like, maybe you can be a little snobby about certain things. Have a special ingredient that you use for things that you really love. Like, maybe you splurge on really good olive oil, and that's your thing that you're like, oh, this gives me so much joy to cook with this. I'm sorry, I don't like the Costco olive oil with that yellow horse on it. It doesn't taste like anything. And if they want to sponsor us, I will take the sponsorship. And I will lie and say that I love their olive oil. But it doesn't taste like anything to me. And so I do splurge on good olive oil because it tastes good and it makes me happy and it makes my prep a little bit more fun.
Yeah, I was laughing because you've definitely talked about your like thing with olive oil on the podcast before and how you need good olive
oil. I'm totally brainwashed and I really like good olive
oil. Yeah, I don't blame you.
There's things you can do like... you know, order your groceries online. This is a time when the pandemic has allowed for a lot more opportunities to do online shopping at a reasonable cost. And if that's something that you can reduce your stress with by making sure that, you know, your prep ingredients are available to you rather than having to stress out and like running through the store and making sure you have everything, ordering online inherently means that you're already going to have your list made up and everything's going to be there.
I like that.
You can also go shopping. This is something I've done before. You can go shopping, like print out the recipe and bring it grocery shopping.
Yeah.
Or like bring your cookbook grocery shopping, and that you then you literally won't forget what you need for your prep.
Yeah.
Because how many times have I been like, oh, I really want to make whatever this recipe this week, and then I forget like the two things that like the main ingredients.
Yeah. I have.
So those are my tips.
I have one last one that.
Yeah.
I didn't want to say it in my whole spiel because it, just in case you mentioned it, because it was kind of more prep related than planning, but I guess it's kind of related to planning, but it's just quick. Last one is, I say this a lot, but like cook once, eat twice, or eat three times, or eat four times.
Oh, yeah.
So like when you're making a recipe or you're prepping, make enough that will last you know, a couple days, or at least another meal that you can have for leftovers for lunch or dinner the next day. So usually, when it's just Pat and I here, and it's just you and Thomas at your place. So usually when we like make a recipe, it might serve four or six. So then we have more for leftovers in the coming days. And then if, you know, say you're cooking for maybe your family or something like that, and you know, one batch only serves enough for your family, like maybe you can double it and then you have more for leftovers in the coming days as well. And I just think, you know, it's so helpful because you are literally doing the work once, but then you're like reaping the benefits. That's or continuing point. It all throughout the week. So I really like that.
And yeah, like, I don't know, just like buy that $3 frozen pizza and that one night of the week that you're so stressed out, like throw that in the oven and add it to your dinner, because life is short and it's not worth it to stress out about making a gourmet dish every single night.
Yeah, I agree. We do that all the time. We always have like something frozen or whatever that we can cook when we're not feeling it.
Oh my God, a frozen lasagna? Are you kidding me?
Oh my God. We had a frozen lasagna last week. And when I... when we were at the store and I was like, oh, I want to get a frozen lasagna just to have like when we don't want to cook. Pat was like, really? Like frozen lasagna? He was like being snobby, you know? And I was like, oh my God, I love a good frozen lasagna.
Me too. Yeah. Delicious.
So good.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's my tip.
I love it. That's our tips. Hope you guys learn something. Maybe you'll take something away and add it to your meal planning and your prep each week. Oh, dang. One last thing I was going to say about meal prepping to add to your like joyful meal prep is like make it an activity. Like, you know, put music on when you're prepping or, you know, just find some way to make it fun or put your favorite show on in the background or something like that. And
let your partner cook with you in the kitchen. Don't be mean and kick them out like me. But I'm slowly trying to let Thomas go in the kitchen. I do totally understand people like, this is my kitchen, like get out of it. Right. But I'm trying to stop being that person.
Yeah. Good for you. I'm glad. Okay. Why are you laughing?
I just love the way you said that. Like, good for you.
No, I mean it. I mean it. Okay. What's been tasty this week?
I have a, like a, I don't know, it's like kind of a, like a bittersweet thing.
Okay.
I shared it in the family chat, that obituary. There was this really lovely, lovely tribute. Did you read it?
Yes.
There was a really, really lovely tribute to this woman who sadly passed away recently. I think she's from New Brunswick. And it's just so funny. Like I shared it with family and a few friends, and her family, her kids obviously like love her so much, and they, I don't know, I don't want to like, I don't think I'll say the name or anything, but yeah, it was just so lovely and it was so funny.
It was funny,
and it obviously like she obviously like made a huge impression on them with her personality. She probably obviously had a huge personality, and what a wonderful way to remember someone, to make so many jokes in an obituary. Yeah. There was even like swear words in it. Yeah. It was really cool. And I would love to be remembered like that. Like what a cool person. And obviously so sad she's gone now for her family, but obviously she left an amazing legacy. There was a bunch of like inside family jokes in it too. And it really, I don't know. It made me sad obviously because someone had passed away, but it made me feel warm inside. Like this person will obviously be remembered forever by her family, and like the effect that the obituary has had obviously has grown beyond that, because I'm gonna remember this person for a long time, I'm sure, because the obituary made such an impression on me, and I'd never read something like that before.
No.
Like, that was so funny, an obituary that was so funny and sweet.
Yeah, it was like a real, like it was like a celebration of her,
totally,
of her as a person, and in the obituary. It was really nice. Well, thank you for sharing that with me.
Thank you.
I'll just go ahead and tell you what's been tasty for me this week, or at least what I hope will be tasty for me this week. So I haven't actually made it yet.
Is it spaghetti squash?
It is. Okay. So it's a spaghetti squash recipe. And as you guys know, I had to run over and take my spaghetti squash out of the oven as we were recording. And I'm making a new recipe tonight that I found on The Kitchen. Do you know The Kitchen?
Oh, without an E.
Yes, The Kitchen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kitchen.
The Kitchen.
Yeah.
I'll link it in this episode if you guys want to try it. But it's a spaghetti squash pad thai, which is very interesting.
Yum.
So, I mean, I love pad thai with rice noodles.
Turn it into a charcuterie board.
Oh, my God. Okay. And I have nothing against rice noodles. I do not think spaghetti squash at all compares to noodles. But I just was like really... I came across the recipe on Pinterest and I was like, this sounds really interesting. Mm. And like, I enjoy spaghetti squash. So why not give it a try? So that's what I'm making for dinner. I have a feeling it's going to be really tasty. But we shall see.
Oh, I'm so hungry. Mm. I'm going to go make a charcuterie board.
I love it. Amazing.
Hannah, I love your tasty. Thank you so much. And I mean, if it's not going on the gram, I would hope you share some pictures with us.
Oh, I will.
Over the family chat. I'd love to see.
Okay, sounds good. I'll share. I'll and next week let's check in and I'll let you know how it was.
The gram. I'm so young. Oh my God.
You're so young. All right, you guys. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure you leave us a rating and a review. Follow us on social media. Send us a DM. Mm-hmm. Let us know what you want us to talk about.
I think this time next week, we have a new review. So this time next week, maybe hopefully we'll read a few new reviews.
We have some new reviews that we should read. Yeah. Thank you guys.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. I think that's everything.
Forever dog. No, just kidding. You don't know what that is?
No.
It's like this podcast production company, and all of their podcasts, they end with, it goes like, forever dog.
That's like, did you ever watch the Mindy Project?
Oh, yeah. Go to bed.
Go to bed. Go to bed. And you know what's so funny is we started, okay, this is a bit of a story, but we started saying that, to Bella, because she every night at like 9 o'clock she like goes up, she like leaves wherever the family is gathered and goes upstairs to go to bed.
Hannah's family dog. Yes, if you don't know.
And so we go to bed.
That's so cute. Oh my god, we are Kaling International, or whatever that production company is called.
Okay. Well,
go to bed, everyone.
Go to bed.
Bye.